Well, here's what we're going to do. Remember last week we started our study, really a two-part study on the Refuge, Redeemer, Avenger, talking about Jesus Christ as being, are you starting back at the start? You can if you want to. I know there was a place to start, but if you want to throw the one up there, this lesson was dealing with the cities of refuge, and then as you think about that cities of refuge, there's one called a Gael, which is the Kinsman Avenger and Kinsman Redeemer. So we talked about that last time. We'll review sort of right up to it. And if Mark, you just want to follow along real quickly with the slides, I'll just go real fast. We'll start with a prayer, and then we'll just remind what we saw last week, and then we'll tie together the idea. Last week we looked at the cities of refuge. This week we'll do Kinsman Redeemer, Kinsman Avenger. We'll see that. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have of coming together with fellow believers. Thank you for this Sunday school class. I just love our class. Thank you, Lord. We get to be together every week. Thank you for the donuts. Thank you for just the fun and the fellowship we have. Thank you for the study of the Bible. So, Lord, may we have a great time as we look at this lesson. Lord, teach us as we think about the picture that Jesus Christ is the refuge, is the city of refuge, and then we think of Jesus as the Goel, the Kinsman Avenger, and the Kinsman Redeemer. Thank you for those great truths, Lord. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we started about realizing that in the Old Testament, there are a lot of things that are there that, you know, when you understand the culture, you study it, but if you understand the culture, a lot of times it begins to make sense. And we talked about a type, and we said, what is a type? A type is a person, place, or event in the Old Testament that foreshadows something in the New Testament. And a lot of the things in the Old Testament are what we call a type of Christ. We usually think about a type of Christ, something in the Old Testament that foreshadowed Christ, either his person or his work or something he was going to do. We listed a couple of them, I think, last time, like the Passover lamb. And we saw the lamb that was slain, and the Jewish people were taken out of Egypt and delivered from the bondage of Egypt. Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb, and he delivers us from the bondage of sin. And then we talked about Melchizedek as a priest. He was a king priest from Salem, which is the same as Jerusalem, and he was a king and priest, and he met Abraham. He was really a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. In fact, Christ's priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek. Then we said that we looked at one called the cities of refuge. We talked about how important a life is, and we talked last week that if a person died, if a person was killed, if a person was murdered, they'll, according to Genesis 9:6, when a person murders someone, that person's life is to be put to death because they took somebody else's life. It's called capital punishment. We said that sometimes in the Old Testament, what if you murdered somebody? If you kill somebody, there was a person called the Goel, G-O-E-L, sometimes pronounced Gael, who was a kinsman avenger. He had the right to catch you and kill you because you murdered one of his family members. If you accidentally kill somebody. If you were, like the example even used in the scripture is if you're chopping and the axe head comes off and it hits somebody and kills them, what happens to you? Because that kinsman avenger had the right to kill you. We said that God set up six cities of refuge and that a person could flee to if you accidentally kill someone. If it was not on purpose, not premeditated, you were to run to one of these six cities. You could go to the gate of the city. You saw the elders. You told them what happened. They looked at the case. They brought you in, and you stayed in that city. And if the kinsman avenger got there, he couldn't come in and get you. And as long as you stayed in that city, you were safe. According to the Bible, you had to stay in that city until the death of the high priest. You hoped that the high priest was an old man, so that he would die, and then you could go back home. Look at Joshua 20, where it talks about it. It says, Joshua 20, verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, designate the cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer, someone who kills any person unintentionally, without premeditation, may flee there and become, and they shall become your refuge from the avenger of blood. The avenger of blood is the Gael, the kinsman avenger. He's also called the kinsman redeemer. So we looked at that, and he talks about that he shall flee to the gate of the city, and he shall talk to the elders, and they shall take him in. And if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver him into his hand. And then notice verse 6, he shall dwell in that city and stand judged before the congregation and that kind of thing. And then they list them. And if you, we've got the slide, I think, right there, showing the six cities of refuge. They were in the three, you know, there were three on the east side of the Jordan. There were three on the west side of the Jordan, which since Israel had all of that land. And one was Bezer, and then Ramoth, and Golan, and then there's Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron. I've got Jerusalem, of course, as the capital in red. But there are the six cities of refuge that a person could flee to. And what we brought out of this whole thing is that Jesus Christ is our refuge. He's the place that we flee to. Now, remember this. How long did you stay in that city? You stayed in that city until the death of the high priest. Well, Jesus is the great high priest who what? Never dies? So we're always in the refuge. We'll always be in our refuge. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And then I think that the cities of refuge is a type of Christ. He is our refuge. He's our place of safety. And I think the next slide is the Hebrews 7, where it says, we draw near, we come to Him for safety. And so one of the things that we wanted you to think about last week was that Jesus Christ is our place of refuge. Matthew 1:21, He's the Savior. John 14:6, He's the way, the truth, and the life. And that's how He's the one you come to the Father. He is the strength and shield in Psalm 46. So Jesus is our place of refuge. So just think about it this way, that we sinned, we owe God death, we're supposed to be put to death because the wages of sin is death, but we can flee to Jesus Christ, who is our refuge. Now, with that in mind, let's continue on, because we said there's another part to this. There, tied in with the cities of refuge was the kinsman avenger. But also tied in is the kinsman redeemer. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the avenger for just a second. The kinsman avenger in John 3:36, Jesus Christ is also avenger, because he says, whoever does not believe, the wrath of God abides on him. Revelation 19:11-12, Jesus Christ is coming back to judge the world. And in verse 15, he judges and he is the avenger. And one day Jesus Christ will deal with all those who did not come to him for refuge. He will be the kinsman avenger. And what will happen to people who do not believe in him? He is their avenger. He is their judge. See, Jesus Christ is either your Savior or your judge. And when the unbelievers stand before Him and their names are not found written in the what? Book of life. They're cast into the lake of fire. That's the avenger. Now, the other aspect is redeemer. The kinsman redeemer. He is the redeemer to all who come to Him. Now, let's talk about the redeemer. In the Old Testament, let's say that you remember that God gave every tribe land, except one tribe, the tribe of Levites, and they did all the work. They had 48 cities, but they also did all the work at the temple. But every tribe had land. Inside of that land that He gave to the tribe were all the families of the tribe. Each of the families had land. And so you had a family, you had... There was the daddy and a son and another son and a daughter and a daughter. They had certain land. That land was always going to be their land. Even if they sold the land at the year of Jubilee, 49, 50 years, the land would always go back to the original owners. So pretending that you had property in Stillwater and you sold it, but on the year of Jubilee, it would come back to your original family. That's just the way they did it, because the family, the land was for them. Now, sometimes people got themselves in trouble and they had to sell it out and they needed redemption. They needed someone to come and to take care of them. Well, in the book of Ruth, most of you know the study of the book of Ruth. There's a man named Boaz and Naomi and Ruth, and she has a husband, and they leave the land because of problems, and her husband dies, and she has two sons, and they marry these two foreign women, and the two sons die, and one of the foreign women stays, but Naomi comes back and Ruth comes back with her, and she says, wherever you go, I'll go. Your God, where your people are my people, your God is my God. Ruth became a believer in the Messiah, and she comes back with Naomi, and they come back and they don't have any land, they don't have anything, because it's been sold off, and they need somebody to redeem them, somebody to take care of them. And the story of Ruth is the kinsman redeemer. That's why it's such a great book. And they come back, and you know the story of the book of Ruth, where Ruth's job, she says her mother-in-law is older, and she says, you stay here, I will go out into the fields and I will glean some of the crop. You say, wait a minute, she can just go into somebody's field and get stuff? Yes, poor people could. They could. The owner of the property was never to glean the corners of his property. That was for the poor people. And as his own workers gleaned, if they dropped anything or left anything behind, the poor people could follow behind and get whatever was left. That was the welfare system. That's what it was for. So Ruth, as it says, just happens to go into a field belonging to this man by the name of Boaz. And she's working herself to death. She's out there working, and Boaz comes up and he sees her, and I think immediately, and we studied the book of Ruth two or three times at Countryside, and he looked at her and said, Who is that? I think she was beautiful. And he said, who is this woman? And the guy said, well, that's Naomi's daughter-in-law. She's come back. She's worked all day long in the heat of the day. I mean, she's getting after it. And he goes over to her and says, from now on, you just stay with my people. And whatever they drop, you get hungry or thirsty, you come eat with me. I'm going to take care of you because I heard about your character, because she was a woman of character. And then he told the people, he said, drop a lot right there, drop a lot. And they dropped a lot. And so she picked up a whole bunch, came back home that night, and Naomi said, where did you get all this? And she said, it was the most I've ever seen. It was from this man named Boaz. And all of a sudden, Naomi goes, Boaz, he is our near kinsman. He is our kinsman what? Redeemer. That's what she thinks. He's our next of kin. He can redeem us out of this thing. And so they come up with this plot that the best way to do it is have Ruth get married to Boaz. And so at night, she snuck out there one night when they were doing the big harvest. She laid down at his feet, which was a ritual, a planned thing. He woke up in the middle of the night. He felt a woman at his feet. He went, I don't remember this. But anyway, so he said, I don't know this. She says, I am Ruth. Spread your covering over me. That was a symbolic way of saying, protect me. I want you to be my kinsman redeemer. I want you to redeem us and get us out of this situation because you're our near kinsman. And he said, wow, you are amazing because you could have gone after young men to get married again. You came after an older man. Boaz was an older man. And then he said something that was a little strange. He said, I'd love to do this, but I'm not actually the closest. It has to be the closest one. She went, oh my. Okay, who is the closest one? He said, I'll go. I'll take care of it tomorrow. She gets up real early in the morning. He gives her all kind of grain. She gets back home. And Naomi said, how did it go? He said, it went great. He gave me all this stuff again. He said, there is somebody closer. You can almost see Naomi going, oh my goodness, who could be closer? He says, but he said he would take care of it. And so the next morning, Boaz goes out to the gate of the city. He sees the man coming by. They never even use the man's name because it's an embarrassment to a person to not fulfill his role as kinsman redeemer. It's an embarrassment. And so when the guy comes by, all the Bible says, you, such a one, come here. That's what it says. Boaz calls him over. He comes over and he says, Naomi needs the plot of land that actually belonged to her family. You are the nearest kinsman. You need to redeem her. Now, to redeem her, he had to pay the price. Pay that price. If they waited till the year of Jubilee, he would come back to the family. But apparently that was a long number of years. So he said, you need to pay the price and then you can redeem him. He said, oh, I'll do that. He said, now, when you do that, though, you have to do Ruth. That's part of the deal. Now, Ruth was not Jewish. She was Moabite. And the guy went, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not gonna, for two reasons. One, this is my property. I mean, I want to keep this from my family, and I don't want to really do it this way. So he said, I'm not going to do that. So, and that was really sort of an embarrassing thing. So Boaz turned to the crowd and said, he has decided not to do it. I will do it. And so that day, he paid the price, married Ruth. Boaz and Naomi came to live there. Ruth, they had a child, and then it went on down. And that's the lineage of Jesus Christ, lineage of David, and then on to Christ. Now, this kinsman redeemer is special, okay? And let me show you some things, because we're saying that Boaz, as a kinsman redeemer, is a picture of Jesus Christ. Now, watch what the redeemer had to do. It five things if you were going to be a kinsman redeemer. Number one, you had to be in the family. You had to be near kin. Okay, that makes sense, right? If you're going to be a kinsman redeemer, you had to be part of the family. In fact, you're supposed to be the closest one. Now, if the closest one didn't want to do it, now let me tell you the tradition. If Naomi had gone to him and said, redeem us, and he refused to do it, she could have made him take off his shoe and she could have spit in his face. Boaz didn't do that. Boaz, instead of embarrassing him, Boaz said, okay, I'll do it. So, had to be near kin, had to be willing to do it. had to be able to do it. Not only did he have to be willing to do it, he had to be able to do it because he had to have the money to redeem. If he didn't have the money, he couldn't redeem. They had to be free, had to not be in debt. And then the fifth thing, had to pay the price and make the purchase. So what we realize is that Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Because we're stuck, aren't we? We're separated. We're in bondage. We can't make it. We need someone to redeem us. Okay, that is first bill, right? First bill. Okay, we got time then. Here we go. Look at these five things. Number one, Jesus Christ is our next of kin. What did he do? He became a what? A person. He became like us. Hebrews passage talks about that he became flesh and blood. He was made like people. John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus Christ became our brothers. That's what he became, our brother. He said, I became their kin. So Jesus Christ became a person. Second thing, he had to be willing. He had to be willing to do it. See, the kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth, the first one wasn't willing to do it. Jesus was willing to do it. Mark 10:45, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? But to serve and give his life a ransom. Hebrews 12:2 talks about, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You know what the joy was? The joy was to redeem mankind. The joy was to be the Savior. He despised the cross. He overlooked the cross. Because the bottom line was, in order to redeem us, he has to go to the cross. That's why the Hebrews says, despising the cross and enduring the shame, he looked for that joy set before him. So that's powerful. He was willing to do it. The third thing, he was able. He's able to redeem us. You know, because Hebrews 7:25 says he lives forever to take care of us. In Galatians 1, let me look at this for just a second. I want you to see it. I'm almost there. In Galatians 1, it says, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might rescue us. See, he did it on purpose. He's able to rescue us. He's able to save us. The fourth thing is that he's free. He's not in debt. What's our debt? The wages of sin. We've all sinned, right? But did he have sin? Do you remember Jesus asking the crowd, any of you, he asked the crowd when they were all angry at him, trying to make him, you know, the Pharisees were there, and he says, do any of you convict me of any sin? What did they say? They didn't say anything, right? Could any of us in this room stand up and say, do any of you convict me of any sin? What's the answer? I can think of a few. Right, I know you. I've watched you. You know, and so Jesus was perfect. He was without sin. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. He knew no sin. He's free. He's not in debt. Hebrews 4:15 talks about that he comes without sin. And then last but not least, he paid the price. 1 Peter 1:18, we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 is, God demonstrates his love toward us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. He did it. He did it. 1 John 2:2, who knows that verse? He's the what? He's the what? You may know it. He is the satisfactory payment. Not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. What do you mean satisfactory payment? He's the payment that satisfies. He's the one that God says, that's the payment. See, most people think that the satisfactory payment is their good works. I'm going to do good works and God will accept me. That's what most people think. If you came to God with all of your good works pulled in a barrel, wheelbarrow, you got them. Pile every good work you've ever done. What does that look like to God? Filthy rags. Exactly right. If you came to God and said, what do you think? Does that satisfy you? What would he say? He would not only say, no, that doesn't satisfy me. He would say, I am already satisfied. You can't satisfy God. You know why? It's already satisfied. Jesus Christ is a satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. He's the one who could pay the price. Powerful thing. So he is our Goel, he is our Redeemer. The Old Testament cities of refuge and the kinsman Redeemer are really a picture of Jesus Christ. He is the place of refuge. Whether he is the Avenger or Redeemer, that's Jesus Christ. Whether he's the refuge, he is Jesus Christ. So let me give you two quick applications. Let's tell others about the place of refuge. I mean, there are people out there that they don't know if they're going to go to heaven or not. They don't know if they have eternal life. They don't know. They don't know the answer. They all think that they have to do something good, but they mostly know that they've done wrong. If you ask anybody, have you ever done something wrong? Everybody says, oh, yeah, I've done something wrong. How are you going to get to heaven? Well, I'm going to try to live as good a life as I can. They don't realize that one wrong eliminates you. We need to tell them there is a place of safety. There is a place of refuge, Jesus Christ. The second application is this. Realize that Jesus Christ is either the Savior or the Judge. He's either the Avenger or the Redeemer. Those who believe in Jesus Christ have eternal life, and he is the Redeemer. Those who reject him, he is the Judge. John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has what? Everlasting life, eternal life. But he who does not... it actually says obey the Son, which has the idea of believing and using it interchangeably, does not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. What exactly is the wrath of God? It's separation. And you said, what did you say? You said death, because when people are separated from God, what's it called in the Scripture? The second death. So I used to say everybody's going to live forever. Some will have eternal life with Christ and some will live forever separate from God. That's wrong. Some people won't live forever. They will die forever. Second death. It doesn't say they have life. It says they have death. He's the Avenger. He's the Redeemer. Wow. Let me pray. Is the second bell already rung? It has. Oh, okay. Okay, let me pray. And then let me tell you what I'm going to do, if it's okay. Somebody asked a question to me the other day, and it was this question. Where do we go when we die? Is that okay to talk about that for 1 week? I thought about doing a one-shot next week on just where do we go when we die and talk about Sheol and all that. I know we've mentioned it before, but that's a question that a lot of people come up and they say, you know, they'll say, aren't we going to go to heaven? Will you spend eternity in heaven? You will not. No. No, you won't. So that's the thing we need to think about, okay? Because where will we spend eternity? Where do people go when they die? Where do people go in the Old Testament? Where do people in the New Testament? I mean, how does it work? We'll do that on one shot, and then we'll do whichever one I want to do. No, whichever one you vote on, okay? Because it's so close. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you for our class. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you that he, first of all, is our refuge. That in our lives, because we sin, we need a place of safety, we've all come short of the glory of God, we owe you death, and yet we can flee to Jesus as our refuge. He is our strength, our shield, our refuge. He's our Savior, and we can come to him. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. Lord, we also realize that Jesus could either be the Judge, the Avenger, or the Savior, the Redeemer. And we thank you that he died on the cross, paid for sin, and has provided the way of redemption. And all who believe in him are redeemed. We trust in him. He gives us the redemption. We'll be with him forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for those truths. Whoever believes in the Son has everlasting life. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.